All right, welcome back to the George Poulos podcast. My name is George Poulos. I'm your host. this is a podcast. Oh, and Julia's here. If you're watching the YouTube video, would you like to say hi in the mic?
Hi.
All right. So we're sitting on our new couch that we just picked up from Luna, and I've showed you Luna's paintings in one of the recent episodes. They're sitting behind the camera, so you can't see them now, but thank you, Luna, for the couch. This is awesome. Our apartment has been going through many changes. So what this episode is about is I've completed meditation teacher training. So I'm a certified meditation teacher. I've completed a 200-hour training. For the past 10 weekends, I've taken class on Friday night, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, meditating, learning about meditation, teaching meditation. It's been intense. It's been a lot. It was not what I expected. It was way more than what I expected. And the graduation ceremony was particularly powerful, really just an incredible culmination of this experience. And it's been less than a week now since this culmination. And I'm just like sitting here like, whoa, what the hell did I just experience? And Julia here can attest to this. I am completely different from who I was when I started this training. Like, I would say a complete 180. Like, nothing is the same. Like, I'm not seeing this world the same. I'm not acting the same. Maybe if you've been listening from episode one, you can feel it. Like, something's really different. And and one thing is that I've been meditating every day for these entire 10 weeks. So that's one thing. Obviously, transformation will happen if you're meditating that much. But I've also been given, like, I feel like I've been given the keys to my mind. Like, I know why it's so important to meditate now. And it's because of these keys. And the keys are karma and emptiness. And karma and emptiness have been at the forefront of my mind since I learned about them near the beginning of this training. And these concepts just make everything click. Karma and emptiness are why I feel different now. Emptiness means that nothing has an inherent nature. Everything we see, what we're actually seeing, is our own projection onto that thing. So I see this camera. What it really is just like a rectangle and a screen and shapes and things like that. But my mind immediately puts camera onto it. So I think I'm seeing a camera. What I'm really seeing is my projection. So emptiness applies to the mind too. So whatever stories and habits and patterns I went into this training with, we were told that these can all change. With meditation, we can change our minds. We can change how we see things. We can change everything. And I've seen that to be true. I know that so many of the limitations I walked into this training with were never real to begin with. They were narratives of mind that I believed were true, and they simply were not true. And it's really incredible. It's really incredible. I really don't have the words. I really, truly do not yet have the words to fully process this. Because I'm like, wait, early on, I remember posting this clip from the podcast early on in the training where I said, what if my fears all went away? And now I'm like, holy shit, that's actually very possible. It's fully possible for all your fears to go away. And the roadmap is there. You meditate every day. to build courage, to build wisdom, to build resilience, to build focus. You need to be able to focus. You need to know where you're heading. And then you chip away at your fears one by one. Every time they come up, you push through them. You just do it. You do it. And you do it with the help of the daily meditation practice. So daily practice. And then the piece that I think I've been missing on my journey of meditation thus far is community. Community and teachers. So when I got into meditation, as you know, if you've been listening for a while, I was just meditating along to Sam Harris's Waking Up app guided meditations. And they were very beautiful. And in meditations, I was having profound insights. I actually really did make a lot of progress. I started breaking through a lot of limiting beliefs. I had really seriously profound experiences. Like, I fully had an ego dissolution. Like, you remember when I came out with that shirt, I am nobody, therefore I can be anybody? Like, I realized meditating consistently by myself. And I certainly had teachers. Sam Harris was a teacher. I was listening to a lot of Ram Dass and things like this. But I was just like receiving this. There was never this open flow of community that I'm feeling now. Anyways, in that first phase where I really was not tapped into community, I was just meditating a lot. I fully realized that I'm not the things. I'm not the skateboarding. I'm not the YouTube channel. I'm not the income. I'm not the partner. I'm not the any of that. And I tasted this sense of freedom, like, whoa. If all that melts away, who am I? I can be anybody, right? But what happened was I didn't know how to handle that freedom, and it scared me, and I didn't know where to go with it. Like, okay, I'm nobody, therefore I can be anybody, but then who do I want to be? And then I remember I stopped meditating at one point, and just everything just really crashed. And everything crashed, and I was pretty low there for a while until beginning this training. And I'm so grateful for whatever inner wisdom pulled me to this training, and I'm grateful for all the angels out there who helped me have the courage and helped convince me and give me the encouragement to actually follow through and sign up for this training. Because I really needed it. And what happens in community when you're on this path is you have these insights, you have these realizations. You don't have to go into the spiral of wondering if you're crazy. You can just share them with someone and see what they think. And more often than not, they're going to be like, oh yeah, I've experienced that before. And they might even have a term for what that's called in Buddhism. That's really cool. When you had this realization and you're tempted to gaslight yourself into thinking you didn't have it, and then it turns out there's already a term for what you experienced in Buddhism, that's really encouraging. That's really encouraging and pushes you to keep going. So I experienced that sort of thing a lot. The community really quells your doubts. And it really creates this this power and this momentum that's really incredible that I had never felt before, because I was meditating mostly alone. You know, I had my Ram Dass and my Sam Harris recordings, but I wasn't really able to ask questions. And when I would tell people in my life about this stuff, people would look at me with fear, like I was crazy. And that's perfectly normal and understandable when you haven't really done this stuff. So it helps to be with other people who meditate, basically, is what I'm saying. And there are people in this world, plenty of people in this world who have meditated for longer than you. and will probably have the answers to your questions and have been through what you're going through. That's really beautiful as well. I have a list, actually. Julia, how do you think this episode is going? You think it's good? All right, good. I don't sound insane?
No.
All right, good. So I have just a rough list of key takeaways from MTT. And I'll just read through them because I wrote them, so there must be something in them. 1. Daily practice is essential. Here's why daily practice is essential. And I just experienced 10 weeks of daily practice, like I said. And I also now have a lot of varying experiences, right? So I've experienced daily practice in my past, like long bouts of daily practice, right? Starting when I started meditating in 2020. And that led to one of the highest points of my life ever. I was breaking through my limited identity. I created my new TikTok. I started expressing myself in this way that felt amazing. I think the podcast was born around this time when I was meditating consistently. All these beautiful things were happening to me when I was meditating consistently. And that consistent meditation pulled me out of a really low point of existential anxiety and confusion. And then after that long bout of daily meditation, I stopped meditating again and I hit the lowest point again. And then I did MTT and I started meditating every day again. And now I'm doing really well again. So I'm seeing a correlation that when I meditate daily, things tend to go better. Not even in an external way, in an internal way. The externals are kind of irrelevant. It's more my relationship to what's happening. My relationship with myself, it improves with daily meditation. But here's like the gist of what I really think, why it's important to meditate every day. If I don't meditate every day, I start to believe my mind's bullshit. The longer I go without meditation, the more seductive my mind's narrative becomes, the more real it seems. But when I'm meditating every day, I can catch myself and catch myself and catch myself and come back to center and come back to what I know is true. What it comes down to is the more I train my mind to focus in the meditation session, the more I'm able to focus on my off-the-cushion object, which is love, which is living in love and overcoming fears. But when I slack on the on-the-cushion meditation practice, the fear gets really seductive. It seems really real. I'm more likely to give in to fear and head down towards a downward spiral. When I meditate every day, I can maintain an upward spiral every day. We lost video for a second. That's okay. Okay, so that's 1. Daily practice is essential. 2, which I kind of hit on. Community is just as important as practice. Because the thing is, when you practice every day by yourself and you have realizations and insights, you'll gaslight yourself into thinking they're not real. When everyone around you is participating in the matrix, all love to them, seriously. But when everyone around you is thinking in a particular way and you're starting to meditate and it's making you think in a different way, and you don't have anyone to talk to about that, you'll gaslight yourself into thinking you've lost your mind. So that's why community is important. Simple as that. 3, nobody will open your heart for you. It's up to you. So I think in my life, I've had this tendency to like wait for permission, like for someone to pull me in and tell me, hey, it's okay. You can be yourself. Nobody's going to force you to do that. Nobody's going to do that. You have to open your own heart. You have to open your own heart. You have to show up to things like meditation teacher trainings or meditation classes or yoga classes. you have to show up. Like there's people, there are teachers holding the space for you. You can show up and be yourself completely. Like the teachers are there waiting for the students. This 3 Jewels meditation teacher training, they were waiting for me. I had to sign up. I just looked back in my calendar. I had been thinking about taking this training since, what was it, June 2021? I saw a note. Is that right? I think so. Maybe 2022. But I waited over a year. I had been thinking about this and percolating this. They've been waiting for me the whole time. It was up to me to show up. Not only show up, but show up and open my heart. So the amount of times I've gone to meditation classes and yoga classes, and I went in and I felt weird and awkward and I did the thing and then I left without talking to anybody, that's not fully showing up. You put your corpse into a yoga class. Congratulations. But it's different when you open your heart. Like, share something. Ask the teacher something. Like, why are you there? It's okay. Like, there's people holding this space. It's okay. You have to open your heart. Nobody's going to make you. Because these angelic beings who teach and hold space are very gentle. They're not going out into the world like yanking people into the meditation studio. No, they're just waiting patiently for you to open your heart. And when you do so, you will be accepted and it will be beautiful. That's what I experienced at MTT. Number 4, see everyone as your teacher. Everyone. Just the mind game that I like to play with myself that I came to during this training was, what if everyone is the Buddha pretending to be someone else so that they can teach me something? Just play with that. This one is hard to describe, but it's really powerful. And you can't exclude anyone. It has to be everyone. Not only the people in the meditation class, not only the teacher of the meditation class, but also your partner. What if you're the Buddha? Are you? Yeah. She said yes. But also the neighbors, the strangers. What if they're the Buddha too? This really shifts something that I don't know how to say yet because it's new for me, but it's amazing. Like, what if they're trying to teach you something for real? For real. Okay, number 5. The quickest way to sidestep your fear/ego/stories is to dedicate your effort to someone else. Behind all of your suffering lies a self-centered attitude that gets you nowhere. So this one really became clear for me via social media, because you know I've had all this fear, all this self-consciousness, all this anxiety about posting what I want to on social media. Oh, the drama. What if I post something without skateboarding? Are people going to like me? Are they going to unfollow me? I really think it might be 100%. Behind 100% of our like self-consciousness and anxiety and fear, I'll speak for myself. Behind 100% of my fear, I think, and I'm still looking and investigating, but I think it's all a self-centered attitude. It's me looking out for my own and nobody else. So thinking about social media, I'm looking out for me, me, me. I want everyone to like me. I want everyone to follow me. I want everyone to validate me. You can flip that instantly. What if I posted so that my post can inspire someone else or make someone else feel better or make someone else feel less alone? When you make that flip, does it matter if I get 100 likes? Does it matter if anyone unfollows me? No, it doesn't. So look at your stories really closely. Can you find the self-centered attitude and can you flip it? You really have to investigate though. Like really look really closely. But when you do this, and my whole last episode was about this, so check that one out. When you do this, everything gets easier. Like me and Julia, I feel like we have a lot of social anxiety. Your social anxiety, okay, I'm not supposed to say you. This is something we learned. Don't say you. Don't say you. Yeah, because I don't know. But when I say you, I'm talking about me. That's a general note for this podcast. When I'm feeling socially anxious, it's because I'm looking out for me and my own. It's the same as the social media example I just brought up. Why would I be socially anxious? Only if I want everyone to like me and I'm worried that I'm not going to succeed. It's self-centered. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like, go outside to try to make other people feel good. Smile at them so that they feel good, not so that they will like you. Talk to them so that they feel like someone cares. When you order your coffee from the barista, make them feel a connection. This flip is liberation. So that's another big takeaway. And I'm thinking about this as I am getting ready to step into the role of teacher, right? Because any anxiety I can possibly feel about teaching, it means I've slipped into being self-centered. It means I've forgotten to think about the student. And that's who it's really about. It's not about you. It's about someone else. So the quickest way to sidestep your ego is to dedicate your effort to someone else. You can do this with your meditation too. Meditate so that you can be a more peaceful person around everyone else in your life. Number six, and this is actually similar to number five. Happiness does not come from getting. It comes from giving. Getting comes as a byproduct of giving. So this is like karma. When you give love, you're planting the cause for you to later receive love. When we're stuck in that self-centered place, we think we need to take. We need to take love from other people. We need to grab validation from other people. That's not where happiness comes from. That's anxiety. That's anxious attachment. Again, if you can flip to giving, give it all away. Give it all away to others. That's where happiness comes from. And it's also the root of receiving. What you give will come back. It's like a boomerang. So give people love if you want to be loved. Don't desperately take love. That's a mistake. It's a mistake. Okay, number seven. Karma and emptiness are the keys. Try to keep them in your mind constantly. They will give you the answer in every situation. I really believe this is true. Sometimes you need... Okay, so you need meditation to keep karma and emptiness in mind. And when you start to really forget, community helps as well. But at the end of the day, karma and emptiness really do feel like the keys. Okay, because I said that any time I'm anxious, it's because of a sneaky self-centered attitude. It's also because I've forgotten emptiness. If I'm anxious about something, about getting something, about being somewhere, about something going the right way, it's because I mistakenly think that that thing going the right way or getting the thing or having the perfect time with the perfect person, I am mistakenly believing that happiness lies in that external thing. But external things are all empty of a nature. Happiness comes from within and only within. So if you can just keep these keys in your mind, you can disintegrate anything that's making you suffer. That's fucking crazy. Okay, and karma tells you what to do. Okay, everything is empty, so what do? You love people. You love people, because then you'll get more love. Okay, that was my main list, but I had like a rough list. Let's see if I had anything good. This is a big takeaway as well. We'll call this number 8. Everything and everyone is a reflection of you. So this is an offshoot of emptiness. If everything is empty of a nature, that means Julia here is empty of a nature. So I don't know who or what this thing is. What I experience when I look at Julia is something that I'm projecting in my mind. So I don't know who Julia thinks she is. I don't know who Julia actually is. All I have is my projection of Julia. In other words, okay, where does my projection come from? It comes from my mind. So when I see Julia, what I'm actually seeing is me. And the same goes for everyone in the planet. So every single different human being is reflecting a different part of your mind. This is actually unbelievable. Okay, so that ties into everyone being your teacher. Right? Because everyone, even when they're triggering you, especially when they're triggering you, is showing you a part of yourself. Okay, we'll call this number 9. And now we're on the rough list, but it's still good stuff. Let love be an open flow. Release perfectionism. Love people and let love come back in. So perfectionism has been a big breakthrough for me as well. But this ties to everything I've been saying already. Because perfectionism will prevent you from loving and expressing and creating and teaching. It's this feeling that you think the thing needs to be perfect, so you procrastinate and you wait and you do nothing. And you don't tell the friend or the lover that you love them because you're waiting for, you're anxious about something, it needs to be perfect. You don't start teaching meditation because you're anxious, it needs to be perfect, you don't know if you're ready. This perfectionism, it just stops the whole flow. And you start to bottle up and it's not good. And the love inside you turns into frustration. When you let perfectionism is a bottle cap. You seal it shut with perfectionism, your love, it can't get out. It turns into frustration, the bottle explodes. Just always let it out. Always let it out. Drop perfectionism, love, express, create. Always, always, always. You can be in a state of action so permanently that it becomes restful. Drop the story that being in a state of action is exhausting. That too can change. That too can change. That too can change. Our minds are changing things. Every story that we have about anything comes from our mind, therefore we can change it. Meditation orients your mind towards truth and makes you less forgetful. I touched on that already. What meditation teachers are really teaching is how to love. Right? You think meditation is about following your breath, blah, blah, blah. What it's really about is learning how to orient yourself towards love, happiness, joy. That's true. I want to circle back to the point about everyone being a reflection of you, because Julia is empty of a nature, remember? So I see me. When I look at Julia, I see a part of me. And I've talked about my inner guide meditations. This is really sinking in now. When you see a human being and you're just like, how are they that loving? How are they that creative? How are they that compassionate. How are they that capable? I can't believe it. And it could be anyone. It could be someone you know in real life, a real life teacher. It could be Ram Dass. It could be any spiritual person you've listened to on the internet. When you perceive that being, guess who you're looking at? You're looking at your own potential, just waiting to be unlocked. You just have to get your damn stories out of the way. That's you. That's you. That being you perceive is you. You know, by virtue of emptiness, that being is you. And by virtue of karma, you can become them. Wow. I don't even I'm like realizing as I'm saying this shit how amazing it is. I don't remember what number I'm on. Here's another one. If you open your heart, truly open your heart fully, completely, the whole world fits inside of it. Again, emptiness is an essential component here. When you scan your eyes, you can do it in whatever room or if you're walking around right now, scan your eyes, like take a look around. You're creating all of that. When you fully realize that and you open your heart, you realize that everyone and everything is in your heart. It all comes from you. So you really can fit the whole world inside your heart. And then like, there's no need to cling. There's no need to attach. It's all yours. Everything is yours. What else we got? You can love everyone. Yes, them too. Right? So we did a lot of love meditations in this class where you conjure up the feeling of love and send love to everyone, and you make efforts to send love to someone that it is difficult for you to love. You can love everyone. And I experienced this beautiful sensation throughout the weeks of MTT where my walls came down and they let certain people into my heart and more people into my heart throughout the class. More and more classmates, I let them into my heart. I realized, oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. And then, you know, towards the end, my walls are still coming down. And then I'm like, oh, shit, you loved me the whole time, but I didn't love you. And now I love you. And the walls keep coming down and coming down and coming down. And that's when you realize, oh, shit. Like to my previous point, if my heart is open, everyone is inside of it. You can love everybody. It really is possible. And in this group, in this meditation teacher training sangha, 80 people deeply in love with each other. All of them. That's proof. It's a little bubble of an example, but that's proof of what the world could look like. We can all love everybody. Everybody can love everybody. It is possible. It is possible. Another one. It is safe and important to take your mask off. You help everyone when you do that. So through the social media posting throughout MTT and also showing up in person and interacting with people in MTT, like I took my walls down throughout class, I was also ripping off my mask and just showing myself and expressing my truth and my authenticity. And through practicing that, through practicing maskless expression, I've realized that it is important for your own soul, but also it tends to inspire others to do the same, to take off their mask, to be more vulnerable. If you have the courage and the willingness to demask, you are an angel. You are helping this world. Please do that. Another takeaway, everything can change in 8 weeks. It was at about the 8 week mark that I realized, holy shit, I am different. I'm a completely different person. I'm looking at the world in a completely different way. So whatever predicament you're in right now, no matter how permanent it seems, everything can change in 8 weeks, if not shorter. But you have to put your mind where you want to go. That's meditation. That's karma. What you pay attention to, you become. Oh, this was another crazy one. So you remember when I said dedicate your efforts to someone else? You can also dedicate your efforts to your future self. So I'm someone who can have a tendency to doom scroll for hours and to leave dishes piling up in the sink. When I observe the thought process that happens there, it's like, oh, this feels good right now to doom scroll. Or this feels good right now to not do the dishes and to doom scroll instead. That's the self-serving attitude I was speaking about. If you can flip to, oh, doing the dishes is good for my future self, I will be able to, in that moment, not have to do the dishes, and then I can create a social media post instead. Let me serve that future version of me. That is a very beautiful way to also sidestep your ego and get back into the groove of your self-care habits, which are very important. And tying it back to that other point as well, self-care habits, why are they important? They allow you to help others. This stuff all ties together. It's like a sacred geometry or some shit. Like it all ties together. The Buddha really figured it out, man. Like, that's another takeaway. Like, the Buddha really figured it out. And this training has been in an unbroken Buddhist lineage. So I'm feeling what he was feeling, and it's pretty good. It's good stuff. It's really good stuff. Okay, Julia actually reminded me of another good one that I didn't write down. And it is, do not jump to conclusions ever. So our minds are constantly jumping to conclusions all the time. Like, if someone acts a little curt towards us out in public, we might think that they don't like us. That's jumping to a conclusion. And if you look at a rose in your hand, you jump to a conclusion about what that rose is based on the story that you have in your mind for rose. So when we jump to conclusions, we don't see the truth. This is really insidious all the time. I was going to name a specific scenario, but it's insidious all the time. Never jump to conclusions. So such a potent example came up in class, and this came up in class during our unit on Buddhist debate. So Buddhists have this practice of debating every time they jump to a conclusion to test whether it's true. And a student in our class brought up this example. It's the example of being socially anxious. When you're socially anxious, you're jumping to a conclusion. You're jumping to a conclusion that maybe you think you're awkward and therefore people don't like you. If you ever jump to that conclusion, you have to investigate it. You cannot assume that it is the truth. And like, this is a really wide scope. Like, we jump to conclusions constantly, all the time, and we assume it's true. It's just, it all ties together, right? It's jumping to a conclusion indicates that our mind has created a narrative, usually a fearful narrative, that we have assumed is true. Never assume it's true. And you can challenge it by debating yourself in your head. That's called an analytical meditation. Never assume anything is true. if you're scared to post something on social media, you've jumped to a conclusion. You've made up some story about why you have to be afraid. Challenge that. Challenge the conclusion that you've jumped to. Like, actually see if you actually believe it. Most of the time, you'll find out that your monkey mind was just doing some bullshit. And if you debate in your head and uncover it, especially using the tool of emptiness to disintegrate that conclusion that you've jumped to, you can set yourself free. So there's another one. Thank you, Julia. Okay, and one more takeaway that I forgot, I'm jumping back on in the morning, is don't ruminate. When you ruminate on what you've done wrong or a mistake you've made, anything that you sort of messed up, you plant more of the bad seeds. You're orienting your mind towards rumination, towards the negative. It's not really helpful. There's a concept I learned about in Buddhism called intelligent regret. When you fucked up, you can have intelligent regret. You can make a commitment or set an intention to do better next time. Like, let's say you had an awkward social interaction. The temptation, the tendency is to beat yourself up, think about how awkward you were, what that person might think of you, right, etc. The temptation is to ruminate. That's not helpful. In an instant, you can have intelligent regret. You can realize, okay, I don't need to... I could have showed up more fully in that moment. I could have been myself more fully. I could have been thinking of that other person instead of thinking incessantly about myself, hence leading to the social anxiety, right? And in addition to cutting off rumination at all costs, you can add on rejoicing. Rejoice in what you did well during the day. We learned about this thing called a coffee meditation, counterintuitively titled, because what the coffee meditation is, when your head hits the pillow as you're falling asleep, you intentionally replay all the kind things you did, all the loving things you did. So instead of ruminating on all the bad things we... prepping our mind for another shitty day, instead we pick out all the beautiful things we did, we focus on those, replay them until you fall asleep. This has been such a tremendously profound practice. It sort of goes hand in hand. I've also been doing gratitude journaling, but just really, you can have intelligent regret about things that you fucked up, but don't ruminate. It's not helpful. You're planting more shitty seeds. Move on and focus on the beautiful things. Plant more of those. Feel good about the good things that you did. There are good things that you did every single day. Okay, so focus on those. I lost my video. That's okay. Anything else, Julia? No. How was that?
Good. But I'm reading a book.
Oh, you've been reading?
Yeah. Did you want me to pay attention?
No. But should I post it or should I be too scared? Post it? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Julia said, and she's the Buddha. Okay, I hope that was good for you guys. I hope you got something. I hope that inspired you. I hope that made you feel a little bit of how limitless you are, something I tasted in this training that I hope you all can taste, your own limitlessness. And I'll be back, and I want to start teaching meditation very soon. I want to do... I'm giving myself, like, a little time to rest and process this training, but I want to jump into teaching before I let my fear get the best of me. So I'm thinking weekly Zoom sessions, and I'm going to start this soon. And I think where I'm mainly going to be announcing it is Patreon. And I think I'm going to allow free members of Patreon to join the meditations as well. So I spoke about community. I'm going to form one starting soon. So just stay tuned. I'll be announcing you. I'll also announce on Instagram, but Patreon will be the main place I will post about the Zoom meditations. And those will also include space to chat and reflect. And I'm so excited. And it's scary for me, but I'm going to do it anyway. I love you. I'll see you next week.